Welcome to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz. Dr. Teplitz is an attorney and he has a PhD in holistic health sciences. He is a pioneer in stress management and wellness. He has written 8 books and his 2 latest are Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change, and the number 1 Amazon bestseller, Switched on Selling, Balance Your Brain for Sales Success. And now, here's Dr. Jerry Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. Healthy Alternatives, what you can do about your health. We're looking for you to have optimum levels of health and well-being. Why do you want to pay attention to alternatives? Well, in the news recently, it was reported that Darvon and Darvocet, which was developed out of Darvon, it's a pain management medication that's been around since the 1950s. So it's real popular. Doctors know about it, prescribe it. Well, it was just removed from the market because they discovered a risk of serious heart arrhythmia abnormalities occurring. This is something that in 2009, 10 million people used Darvon or mostly Darvocet. However, in Britain, in 2005, they pulled this drug from the market. In the European Union, they pulled it in 2009 because of health concerns. The FDA, when they started looking at it in 2009, basically didn't do anything. They just said, let's have a study done on this. And the study showed an increased risk of heart arrhythmias, even in healthy people, not just folks who are weakened by illness. So you're saying, great, they finally got around to discovering it. Well, this is something that the FDA has had indications of for 30 years. There's an organization called Public Citizen that has tried for more than 3 decades to limit the use of this drug and even petitioned the FDA to ban it in 2006. When the FDA finally announced their ban, they cited to a study to support this ban that was done 30 years ago. The folks from Public Citizen said probably at least 1,000 people in the United States have died from using Darvon, Darvocet since the 2005 ban in Britain. This is another example why you need to look at healthy alternatives before you go to drugs, because you can't trust the FDA to do what it's supposed to do, what it was really created to do anymore. So it's you that's got to look out after you. Now, in terms of today's show, looking out after you, we're going to be doing a show today that looks at acting. Who would have thought? Looking at acting as a way that you can model behaviors that will allow you to reach optimum health and wellness for yourself. If you want to know more about me, you can click on the globe on this page, or you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. Last week, I was talking about, in the section that I call Breakthrough Alternatives, I was talking about the placebo effect. I said I would continue that conversation with you now, and that's what I want to do. Interesting thing about the placebo effect, it's getting stronger. Placebos are just a sugar pill, are actually getting more effective. From 2001 to 2006, the percentage of new product drugs that were in the pipeline in what's called a phase 2 clinical trial, where they're first tested against a placebo, it actually rose by 20%, the ones that got kicked out. The failure rate from a phase 3 trial went up 11% from what it used to be. So now half of all drugs wind up failing in late-stage trials because they can't beat a sugar pill. Now, some products that actually have been on the market for decades, like Prozac, are actually now starting to look bad compared to a placebo effect. As a matter of fact, if Prozac was in the pipeline now to be approved, the FDA might not approve it because the placebo effect has gotten so powerful around it. There's a guy named William Potter. He's a psychiatrist, and he's one of the earlier people that started realizing that there's a problem going on with drugs. What he started to discover, that geographic location alone could determine whether a drug bested a placebo or not. And so, for example, Valium was beating the placebo in France and Belgium, but when it was tested in the U.S., it would fail. Prozac, as I mentioned a moment ago, it performed better in America than it did in Europe and South Africa. So that where they're testing drugs can actually have an impact on it. He also discovered that the rating system that they use by trial observers can vary differently from one location to another, and so that was affecting how they were rating placebos. If you look at placebo-activated drugs that are aimed to relieve pain, well, or the placebo effect off of that, excuse me, is that they'll relieve pain, but they can also moderate heart rate and respiration. Dopamine, which is released by a placebo treatment, can help improve motor function in Parkinson patients. So it's things like this that are happening that are saying the placebo effect is actually getting stronger and stronger. As a matter of fact, they did some research where they put people on a waiting list for a new drug therapy, and then they had another group that just received the placebo effect, and the clinician who was giving it to just did some small talk. And then they had a third group where also they just got a placebo drug, but the clinician actually asked them questions about system, analyzed the cause of their illness, and displayed optimism for their outcome. Well, lo and behold, the volunteers in the third group actually improved the most. However, just those who participated in the trial or signed up for the trial actually got as much relief as the people who were using the two drugs in the trial. So, and these benefits from these placebo drugs actually lasted for weeks afterwards. There's a veteran of hundreds of drug trials who he's changed his way of looking at what he is doing as a doctor. He said before he would routinely prescribe antidepressants for somebody, but now he would do more psychotherapy for mildly depressed patients so he can actually engage the placebo response and really wait to use the drug to assist in the placebo response. That is a ground change in medicine that we have to look as a healthy alternative that they're looking for you to become your own healer. I'd like to take a break now and share with you about my latest book. It's Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. As you know, there's chaos going on out there. We've all under stress, even with what we read in the paper, but we can have friends, relatives who've lost homes, lost jobs. This book is designed to give you a whole range of techniques that you can use immediately to handle those stresses that you're experiencing. If you want to read reviews about this, you can go to Amazon.com where you can also order it, and you'll also see reviews on managing your stress in difficult times, succeeding in times of change. You can also click on the book cover that's in front of you and order it that way. So I'd like to introduce my guest today, Dr. Dale Anderson. Dale is a board-certified surgeon. He's a board-certified emergency physician, and he is one of the founding diplomats of the American Board of Holistic Medicine. He's been practicing medicine for 52 years, and now he's focusing in on speaking to groups about a very unique area, and that is looking at theater and method acting as a way you can create a healthy alternative for yourself. Dale, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Well, thank you. It's great to be with you, Jerry.
So I have a question for you to start off. You're a physician. You're also, and Dale is a professional humorist as well, and you're also, I understand, a student of theater. So how have you combined all of these things in what you're doing now?
Well, it was neat that I had a number of patients who were theater performers early on in my practice. And it was 35 years ago that one of these theater performers was in being sick all the time for about 6 months. And one day she came in saying, "We're not getting anywhere. All my aches and pains aren't going away. Could it be the part that I'm in this theater production? It's wicked. It's angry. It's hateful. I don't like this part." And then she asked the question, "Is it possible that the chemistry of this part could be coming out in my aches and pains of the body? Have I acted my way into ill health?" And wow, that was just an eye-opener.
Now, 35 years ago, nobody was really looking at that direction of the chemistry and saying, you know, could this be a part of what's going on? How did that trigger you?
Well, it was just about the time of Norman Cousins starting the stuff, and she said, "Can't you doctors figure out what the physiology of some feelings are?" And it was just, we were just starting to do that in the lab, and then of course PET scans, functional MRIs came along, and now we can picture and map almost any feeling, which is an emotion, and the people on stage say that we have to be in the chemistry of our part or we're no good. And so she got out of that part. She went into a new upbeat part, and all her aches and pains went away. I could do nothing for her aches and pains, but her new part did. And so she started saying, "Well, why aren't you teaching people how to act the happy part? When we're in the happy part, we feel great." And, of course, that goes back to childhood when Grandma would say to you, "Dale, put a happy smile on your face and you'll feel better all day." Well, we used to call that fluff. Well, now, following what method actors do, we know that's more than fluff. That is actually changing the physiology of the body, PET scannable, MRIable, and we are in charge of our inner pharmacy, our cellular pharmacy that's open 24 hours a day. How do we access it? Let's do like method actors do to get into any emotion they need to play out well and trance, T-R-A-N-C-E, form themselves and their audience.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. You're saying method acting. Most folks don't know what method acting is, if they've even heard the term. Where did it come
right
from, and what is it?
Well, method acting came out of Russia in the early 1900s, came to New York, and in our theater history, there were some very famous people. Strasberg was one of those, and it became method here. It was a system in Russia. But this came from a actor in Moscow who was head of the Moscow Arts Theater who heard about Pavlov and the dogs. And Pavlov and the dogs was in St. Petersburg, Russia, where, of course, he got these dogs into the physiology of digestion without feeding them anything and just ringing a bell. And this Russian actor, head of the Moscow Art Theater, said, "Well, why can't I do that with audiences and with actors? Why can't I change their chemistry?" And he called it a chemistry then. Their chemistry by just doing certain things. What can I do with the colors, the aromas, the walk, the talk, the script, the music, the breath? What can I do to change physiology just by actions and movements and sound? And so he started bringing Pavlov and that famous experiment onto the stage of life and into the theater. And now I'm trying to bring that from the theater and that stage into everyday living, because if we Psychology of Happiness. And there's no one who will deny, of all my colleagues in medicine, that happy people aren't healthier people. And so the trick is, how do we get that act performed well?
So the notion of a long time ago, the statement of fake it till you make it, then that actually has some truth to it in terms of play happy and you'll be happy.
Well, there's no question about that. Good studies just in the last month or so said happiness spreads like a virus. Any emotion spreads like a virus in a group, and you have to do it over and over again sometimes. You know, to put a smile on your face, to laugh in front of the mirror, to laugh out loud, those are things that actors do all the time to go on stage for a happy part. They know what to do. They know their aromas of whether they're going to have an angry part or a sad part or a happy part. They know the aromas they use. What are the colors that you would wear if you were on stage for an upbeat part? Well, actors know that. The lighting people in the theater change the colors of the lighting to change your mood. And what's a mood? A mood is a chemistry. A mood is a feeling. And they are changing that just by simple little acts. Many of my audiences are made up of elderly people in the fourth quarter of life. And I have to tell them, look, never act your age. Get more youthful and ageless and act a younger part. And how do you do that? And so we go through posture and breath and thoughts and all kinds of things. But it's all a performance. It's all act.
Dale, you said earlier about a method actor would look at the aromas of being happy. What are the aromas of being happy?
Oh, well, I think everybody has little different aromas, but obviously if I'm in my green room preparing to go on stage, I might have a chocolate there. I think some of the citruses are up in northern Minnesota. Pine smell is a happy aroma. If you go down to Georgia, a peach smell is probably in there someplace. And we all have our favorite. I still use an aftershave lotion that I used when I was a junior in high school. Now that's 60 some years ago, and that was when I first started shaving. I would use that when I was dating. I would splash on that, and I even use it now before every seminar that I put on. I tell the audience today, for them, I'm an aqua velva man, because that brings back the ambiance, the power, that youthfulness. So use whatever works for you.
Before we continue, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net, and we'll be back with my guest, Dr. Dale Anderson, in just a moment. Do you suffer from headaches, migraines, sinus colds, stiff neck and sore shoulders? There is now available a DVD that I have done that has treatments for all of those maladies that people experience, and it uses a Japanese pressure technique called shiatsu that's about 2,000 years old. It's a technique you can do on yourself as well as in others, and what it is finger pressure. It's applying a hard, steady pressure on certain points on the head, neck for a headache. Sinus cold would be the front of the face. Stiff neck, sore shoulders, work those areas. They're very easy to do. You can do them on yourself as well as on other people. What kind of outcome can you expect from this? I was getting ready to speak at a convention doing the keynote address, and this guy came up to me and said, I want to apologize. I'm going to have to skip attending your keynote because I've got a migraine coming on. I got to go lay down. What I said to him was, sit down. I did the shiatsu treatment on him for migraines, which takes about 5 minutes. When I was done, he said it was gone. He then said if I had not done it, he would have been in bed for the next 3 days straight. All the money he paid to register for the convention, fly out there, hotels, all would have been lost. Shiatsu is wonderful. It's easy to do. You can go to my website at teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, to learn more about it. Or you can click on the picture in front of you of the Instant Headache and Migraine DVD. And it comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. If you're not satisfied, just send it back. Headaches, migraines, a thing of the past for you. So we're talking today to Dr. Dale Anderson. He's a board-certified surgeon, emergency physician, and he is also the founding diplomat of the American Board of Holistic Medicine. He's been practicing medicine for 52 years, and we've been talking about how you use theater as a way to reach your healthy alternative. So, Dale, let me ask you a question on the research that's out there. Can you let our listeners know what some of the key studies from your standpoint, I'm aware of a number of them, but I'd like to hear what you're saying, is the key studies that look at how our brain chemistry is being affected and how that manifests in our lives?
Well, of course, there's so many studies out there on meditation and these type of things that have been PET scannable and MRIable. But the studies on how emotions are spread like a virus has just been in the last year or so, that showing that if you have a certain group of people who might be filling up, and if you throw a few people into that group who are very sad or acting very sad or angry or acting very angry, eventually the whole group will start getting that, catching that. And of course the reverse happens, that if you have a downer group and send put people in there who are really upbeat, the whole group becomes upbeat. This has been in the last several weeks or so. And the people you associate with, you catch their chemistry. If you are around a group of people whose activity is smoking, you smoke. If you're around people who are overweight and eat large amounts of calories, and you're in that group, you're going to do the same thing. So you copy and act like the people many times that are around you. So there's some proof there in recent studies.
Now, my experience is that because of our survival mechanism is still so strongly activated, that people tend to look at the negatives that are out there in terms of, you know, what's threatening my survival, and that happiness really has to be a choice that you have to create. So it's much easier to be in a group that is going in the downward direction, the negative side, and that it really becomes a choice people have to make to go on the upside. Is that your experience also?
Oh, I would say that's for sure. My gosh, there's not too many things in the newspaper or on the news that really points out the good things that are happening in life. And does anyone go away from the news broadcast feeling very good? So I'd say that it is easier to get into the downers than it is into the uppers. But think that on the stage, what people do is they say, if you look for and stay in the upper, and they use a crib sheet, which they say up, out, and forward for the happy part. And that goes into everything.
Dale, hold on. Go over that again a little bit better, up, clear, up, out, and forward. Say that again. What's that about?
Well, when the people who are on stage, when they have crib sheets to get into the upper part, they call it a crib sheet that will tell them to be up, out, and happy. And so they would look at their face and everything in their face. How do they get the face looking up and out and forward? The vision, what's their posture of up, out, and forward? What are their thoughts of up, out, and forward? The strong breath and their all their movements are are strong and up, out, and forward, as opposed to someone who's into the down, in, and backward appearance. This would be, if I were going on stage, I would be crouched forward. I'd be in that looking down at the floor position. I'd be moving slowly. This is the sick. This is the depressed. This is the old part. It's a very opposite from the up, out, and forward. So up, out, and forward is the crib sheet, essentially, for method actors.
There's a piece that I do when I speak that our listeners can actually do now to experience what Dale is talking about, where if you stand up, put your hands at the side of your body, and think a very negative thought, and just really intensify that thought, and while you're thinking that thought, just observe without adjusting your body, look at your physical posture, just feel it, your breathing, any pain you have in your body, what's going on in your mind. And what I find is people will say that they're slumped, their breath is very shallow, they'll have pain, and they'll notice churning in their mind. Then if somebody
right,
takes
exactly.
a very positive thought and focuses
right.
in on that and notices the physiology again, they'll notice that their posture is upright, their breathing is deeper. The pain will have actually disappeared in many cases, and the mind will be completely different. So from my standpoint, that's a way to actually experience very quickly what you're talking about, Dale, in terms of how with doing the method, you can make that kind of a change, adjustment, and make it very quickly.
You are essentially doing Konstantin Stanislavski, that founder of method acting. You are teaching method acting also, but and it works. Thoughts change your body's structure. The structure of your body changes your thoughts. And either your actions or your thoughts, one or together, change the physiology of the whole body. So, I mean, I've been to some of your presentations, Jerry, and I have been really so impressed with what you do, with the switched on living.
Great. Well, thank you. Question for you, is there a limit to how happy we can be?
Is there a limit? Well, there probably is some limit. I think that we all have sort of a range of our happiness. We are, and that's probably a little bit genetically programmed, but the thing is that the range can be very wide. And so you can change that range into the upper happy end if you follow some of these techniques of the theater and some of the techniques that you are giving to your audiences. Then you can change that to a more positive place anywhere. It's I don't think any of us want to be that happy, bubbly person who is sometimes looked upon as being just a little too happy. And I think that there's time to be mad, there's time to be sad, there's times to have downer feelings, but too many people just dwell in that area of their life and don't bring it up. So, and that's one of the problems that I have with my peers now, who I'm in the late to mid late 70s, and too many of my age group, I have kind of gotten in a little bit to that, expecting to be a little bit unhappy. And that's the opposite of what studies find. Where the studies find that the older people get into the 70s and the 80s as a group, they are the happiest of all of the groups. So, if they can act more youthful and more joyful, they feel even a lot better.
Dale, let me ask you a question. When you were working with patients and you had somebody who was ill and you started training him into the notion of the method acting happiness, how long would you say, kind of on average, would it take for symptoms to start to disappear from these folks?
Well, if they take a laughter prescription, which I give them, I write it out and tell them to stand in front of the mirror for 15 seconds twice a day and belly laugh, and we go through this whole technique of how they do this and how they stand and what they say to themselves, they will say they feel that right away. Now, that's way out of what they have been doing or usually would do, but they try that. And in a period of a week, they'll start feeling better there. But if you're trying to change your whole performa, it doesn't happen any faster in real life than it does on stage. It takes a month or sometimes 2 months to get into, and you study all the little nuances of the parts and all the little things that will help and give a good list of things to people on how it's more than just the laugh, but again, using all of the things that we've talked about before, the aromas, the colors, the tastes, that will help them get into that. And then once they're into that part, it becomes real. It's not real until it becomes a habit. To be in a part means making a habit of that part. And all a habit is a physiology, is a chemistry that feels comfortable. So to make that part comfortable does take, I would say, a month or so. But you start seeing the returns right away.
So if you would like to learn more about Dr. Dale Anson and I have been talking about today, you can go to his website at acthappy.com and explore the ho-ho-ho, he-he-he's of really becoming happy. Dale, thank you for being on the show this week.
Oh, thank you so much, Jerry. And just remember, all who are listening, I hope they just keep laughing for the health of it.
Great. Thanks, Dale. Next week, we're going to be looking at aging, and we're going to look at redefining the terms as what does it mean to age, and can you just change a word and change the outcome and how people are going to feel and act and respond to life out there as they age. My guest next week will be Annie Glasgow as we explore this topic. Please join us. You don't want to miss it. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out about it more at me at teplitz.com. You can click on the globe in front of you, and you can also follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.